Good to see you this evening. As Brother Tom said, it has been a great day. Spent mostly with all of you, so that's awesome. That is awesome. Open your Bibles if you have them. Ephesians chapter 2. I think I've said this once, and clearly I've not told the truth, but I think this will be the last lesson in the baptism, in the lessons about baptism. I say that, and we'll find something else to talk about in 2 weeks, but isn't that how it always is? It's kind of interesting whenever you do a series, because I think you always end up doing the same series, and you change a couple things, and you do it like every 2 years. So whenever people say, like, this wraps up our series and whatever, it's kind of like, if you're there long enough, probably not. But... So nonetheless, here we are talking about baptism, and tonight we're talking about baptism as a work. We are not saved by works. That's what your bulletin says. It says, baptism is a work. We are not saved by works! Exclamation point. Well, another objection, right? Another objection to the necessity of baptism, and it involves the fact that salvation, or involves salvation and works. People often say that baptism is indeed a work, and we are not saved by works. In Ephesians chapter 2, this is the reference that is cited for this argument in the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Fair enough. This is the support for this objection made here in Ephesians chapter 2. And certainly baptism is a thing done. And as such, if you like to, if you would like to call it that, a quote work, if you like, it is something that is done, and I think that is certainly fair. I think there are several questions though that come along with this, and that we have to answer tonight. The first one being, is baptism a work of merit, by which one earns salvation? So do we do baptism as a work of merit and then earn our salvation? Another question would be, or is it a work of faith, by which one receives salvation? That seems more likely. Fair enough. So in considering the work involved in baptism, who is truly the one at work? I think that's a good question to ask as well. Who is working? So if there is work being done, because we're acknowledging that there is in fact work being done with baptism, because it is a thing indeed that is done, who is it that is working? Is it the man or the woman that is being immersed into the water? Are they the ones who are working? Or is it God who forgives and regenerates through the blood of Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit? So those are kind of the questions when you think about this type of objection, and someone says, you know, baptism is a work. We're clearly told in the Scripture that we're not saved by works. And you say, well, yeah, baptism is a sort of work, if you like, but it's more nuanced than that. It is something that is done, but who is the one that is working? And in baptism, is there something being merited or is it unmerited? How does faith play a role in this, et cetera, et cetera? And I think as you carefully examine the Scriptures, the Bible teaches that there is no there's certainly no contradiction between the idea that we are saved by faith and not by works. The Bible's not contradictory at all. It's so clear, even a Muslim can figure it out. It indeed is so clear. So hopefully, I will attempt to do that tonight to try and make it as clear as possible, because this is a very popular objection, And I say it so clear that a Muslim can figure it out, but I'm serious. It is indeed that clear, and that is not any disrespect to anyone that believes that baptism is a work and we're not saved by works, etc., etc., but instead, it is a credit to God and His Word. God's Word is, I mean, it's really good. It's really, really, really well written, and it's written in a way that even you and I can look at it and understand. So hopefully we'll be able to look at all these things tonight and make this point clear by the end of the lesson. And I'll begin by pointing out that baptism is a work of faith, not of merit. I'm not saying that baptism is not a work. It is indeed something that is done. Like, there is an action taking place. There is something that is being done. There is someone that is doing something. Like that's obvious. That's and you can't escape that. But there's a difference in how we talk about these things. Semantics are important. There are different kinds of works, if you like. Maybe we can start there. There are works of merit. There are works of, quote, merit. They are works done to earn something, in other words. So when I do something at work, I expect, based on the job description, that if this is what is described that I ought to do, these are the things that I'm supposed to get. These are things that normally we would find in any kind of standard contract. Just bought a house not that long ago. If you provide X, 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 you will be given X. This is maybe a work by merit. You earn some things, and we do. We all earn some things in life. Most of us earn a living. And based on how well we do something is usually how well we earn a living or not. That's usually the case. Those who have done such works believe they deserve something. Those who believe they will be saved. A biblical way of looking at that would be like the Ten Commandments. If they follow the Ten Commandments, they believe that they would be saved. Hey, here are the things. I'm coming back down the mountain. Here are the things that we're told we must do. And if we do these things, we will be saved. Okay. So we are going to be working on our merit then. It's like, yes, that is, in other words, what we know as the old law. It was essentially a merit system. Those things are not totally lost today. Islam is pretty much the same. It is a merit-based salvation system. These are the kinds of works that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 3. We won't hop around a lot, but I'll read these for you if you like in chapter 3 and verse 27 and 28. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works. No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of law. These are the types of works that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 3, i.e., again, the old law, a different type of works where you had to do certain things, you had to keep certain commandments. And if you indeed did that, then you would indeed earn your salvation. And of course, this is why the old law was abolished, because nobody could actually do this. Nobody could actually merit their salvation by adhering to the old law. There is no way one can earn or merit, same idea, salvation. All the good we might do cannot outweigh even one sin. The one sin that we have wipes away all the good that we can do in life. So we simply cannot work our way, merit our way, earn our way to salvation. So there's that type of works, the works of merit. There's also another type of work, works of faith, if you like. These are things done to, let's say, receive something. Not earn something, not merit something, not you must give this to me, but if I do this, I will get this. A work to receive something, something done to receive something. Those who have done such works believe they deserve nothing. They know that they haven't deserved anything, but indeed that they are going to receive something. They understand their obedience did not earn or merit their salvation. They understand their salvation rests completely upon God's mercy and grace. It's all up to God. It's all in His hand. Not because He owes me, but if God says He's going to do something, then He indeed is going to do it. Such works can rightly be called works of God, not works of man. God works too, you know. God does a lot of work. God has done a lot of work. It was noted this morning about the trees changing colors, and you know, you got some that are red, some that are yellow, some that are both, some that are a bit green and a bit red, all kinds of stuff. And it was noted that, you know, here it is, like here's creation, here's God at work. Yes, here is God at work. God has indeed set things to work in a particular order, and He still works. Faith itself is called by Jesus. So these works of God, this is not something that's foreign to us. Jesus has called us by faith. Other works of faith are commanded by God. What other works of faith are there? What about repentance? Confession. Though such works as faith, repentance, and confession are commanded, they are not meritorious works. So what I'm saying is that you are commanded to repent. You are commanded to have faith. They're not merited or meritorious. You are not going to earn anything. Now, you might receive something, but you've not earned it. There's a big difference between what we get and what we earn, what we deserve and just what we get. They are works God has ordained we do to receive his salvation. Yes, there are things that God has said you must do, and if you do this, you will receive something. When all is said and done, salvation is still by God's grace and mercy. So what is said then of faith, repentance, and confession may also be said of baptism. And we're working toward what I think is probably one of the greatest points about all of this. One moment at a time. Baptism is a work of faith, not merit. But I thought baptism wasn't a work. Well, who said that? It's not your work. Fair. But I'm involved. Yes. There is a work of faith, and definitely not merit. Baptism requires faith. Otherwise, you're just getting wet. If there's no faith, you're literally just getting into the bath. I mean, there's nothing different about it then. The necessity of faith has been emphasized by Jesus in Mark 16:16. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe, faith was emphasized. Philip made it a prerequisite to baptism for the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. When the Ethiopian eunuch said, well, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he says in verse 37, if you believe, you may. If you believe. You had to have faith. There was something required of you. Baptism is an act of faith by one which receives the forgiveness of sins. Not earns. But they receive the forgiveness of sins. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. They receive union with Christ into his death and raised with him in new life. Romans 6:3-4. Baptism is not a work of merit, is emphasized many times. One of the greatest times that I think it's put into perspective is Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. Not by works of us done in righteousness. But according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 is very interesting. And we could just about pick it apart and talk about it for 20 minutes. We're not going to. He saved us not because of works done. That's where everybody stops. It's like, not because of works done by us in righteousness. Like things that are done by us that are good, that we've done righteously, that we've done correctly, that we've done what he wants. It's like, but say, I've done what he wants, so like I get the salvation. What do you mean by get? You receive it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, but I've done these things right. Like I get what's right. That's what's just. I do the right thing, I earn. Even when we do these things righteously, not because of works done by us in righteousness. It's not our righteous works. It's always according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, we are getting something. It's definitely not a work baptism of merit. I mean, there's no question about it. It's so clear in the Scriptures. He does not save us by works of righteousness or works of merit, if you like. It's clearly not some work of righteousness done to earn or merit salvation. Nowhere in the Bible does it suggest that baptism is some type of work of merit where you can earn. If you do this, you have earned your way towards something. Like faith, repentance, and confession, baptism is an act of faith by which we would receive from God salvation. And this is why baptism involves the working of God. We asked that question earlier. Who's working here? Who's busy here? God is at work. God is busy. God is at work in baptism. We're buried and raised with Christ through faith in the working of God. That's Colossians 2:12. That's not made up. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's because the inspired writers wrote it. It's because it's true. Colossians 2:12. Through faith in the working of God. It is God who does the work, not man. Man is dead in his sins. Man is dead in his sins. We can't do anything. Like, it'd be interesting if we could. We can't even. We can't even begin to try and save ourselves. Because although you and I are living and we're breathing, before we ask God for forgiveness, before we repent, before we confess that Jesus is the Son of God and are buried in baptism, we are literally dead. We're walking around and we're doing things and we're going to work and whatever, but we're totally dead. Nothing is really going on. All of it is vanity at that point. But God makes us alive. He brings us to life through baptism. It is God who saves us, not ourselves. And He does this through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You can think of baptism almost as like an operation. Probably several of us have had some type of operation. It could be small, it could be big. But even something as small as, like, I've had a ligament in my thumb repaired years ago playing soccer. How do you tear a ligament in your thumb playing soccer? Nonsense. It's totally silly, but nonetheless it happened. Think of baptism as a spiritual operation where the great physician does his work. What happens when you need surgery? If you think back to times when you've needed surgery, what is happening? You need some type of surgery. It's going to take some kind of faith in whoever's doing the operating. Like, if you don't have faith in whoever's doing the operating, you're probably not letting them do anything. You usually like have some kind of confidence. Sometimes you even ask, like, what's the success, the chance of success of this surgery? Or the doctor might tell you the chance of success in particular surgery, whatever it is. You have X amount of chance of recovering this much. You have an 80% chance of having a full recovery. You have a 90% chance of having an 80% recovery, whatever. There's all types of discussions that you can have. But usually, you'd have to acknowledge at some point before you go under the knife that, yes, I have some type of faith, some amount of faith that this is going to go reasonably well. The doctor told me, hey, it's really simple. You know, for me, it was really simple. He's like, I make a little, it's a really small scar. It's like the size of an inch. He's like, I'm cut right there, reattach it, close it back up, done. You'll be out of here in 30 minutes. And I was like, why do I have to go to sleep? Sounds really simple. He's like, you don't want to be awake. Okay. So you got to have some kind of faith. And then you have to submit to the operating table. Like, you have to actually go, right? It's like, hey, can you come to my living room and do this? No, they're not going to do that. You're going to have to go and you're going to have to do something, right? When the surgery is over, I've earned my healing. I've merited my healing. Not quite, right? It requires both faith in the doctor and a willingness to submit to him. You have to have faith in the one who's doing the operating, and you have to be willing to actually go and let them perform the operation. You have to be physically present. I mean, baptism is it's the exact same idea. You have to have faith in the one who's going to operate. The one who's operating is God. You're going to have to believe that God can indeed do the thing that He's saying He can do in baptism, which is wash you and cleanse you of your sins, bury you in the death of Jesus, and have you arise a new being, a new creature. You have to believe that. And when you believe that, you have to actually do it. It's really the exact same thing. How could someone walk out of a surgery and say, man, I was excellent today. Like, man, I stood there and he said, you know, I'm going to put you to count backwards from 10. And I did. And I made it all the way to 6. And then I fell asleep. And then I woke up. I was fantastic. I was a great patient. I didn't ask for ice cream or anything. Like, I earned that one. I mean, yeah, it's laughable. It's exactly what it is. It's laughable. Honestly, it's laughable. So then our faith in God, if we are looking at ourselves and saying, you know, well, I can't get in this water over here, or we can't go to whatever pool at whoever's house or whatever and get back. Like, I can't do that because that would be me, like, working. And clearly by Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I'm not the one who's working. It's just a violation. That's just as good as saying when you walk off the operating table, you did a great job. while everybody else was doing the work. It's paradoxical to say the least. That's probably the diplomatic way of saying that. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And I'll leave you with another thought before we start to maybe conclude all of our thoughts. We never have a problem with repentance. We never have a problem with confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who do you think is working in your repentance? Man, I repented. I did awesome. Like, who's working? When you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, what are you confessing? And I mean that with all due respect. Like, it's a great thing to do those things. But you are not the one who's great. It's in fact, that's why you're confessing it. Because you, if you understand it properly, you have recognized that I am nothing. I am dead in my sins and I need the Lord. He has died for me. He has done the work. So I'm going to have faith in Him and I'm going to submit to what He's asking me to do. And He will work. He will do the work. Nobody has a problem with confession and nobody has a problem with repentance. But for some reason, we have a problem with baptism. It's really difficult for me as a former Muslim to have been reading some of these things and say, if I have a problem with one, how could I not have a problem with all three? Well, I don't have a problem with any of them. I don't have a problem. So we're good. So for me, it was no problem. I had other issues. But these were not of them, because I think that if you take away baptism, yeah, I think you got to start pulling. You ever play Jenga? You build a nice little tower of blocks and then, you know, you're pulling a couple and it's like, you know, you pull one, maybe two pieces out of the Jenga pile, everything stands. It's not a big deal. You start pulling three, four, five, game over. If you're going to pull the baptism block, yeah, I think you got to. What about repentance? What about confession? And then all of a sudden the tower starts to get shaky. I don't think we can do it. I don't think we can do it. So concluding some thoughts. When we understand that baptism is a work of faith and not of merit, it's a working of God, at which time we receive salvation, not earn salvation, we receive salvation, I don't think we'll reject the necessity of baptism. I think that we'll acknowledge the necessity of baptism. Many people reject baptism because they see it as something you do. In reality, I would say that baptism, out of the three things that we've talked about, believe, repent, confess Christ, I think baptism is actually the most passive thing we do. It's literally someone else laying you into the water, bringing you back out, and God is the one who's doing all the work. I genuinely think it's the most passive thing we do. Believing, it's not passive, it's active. That takes work. It takes work to believe. Repentance takes work. To acknowledge that, hey, I'm going to change the way I do some things. It takes work. Confessing Christ, same. All things that we do. Baptism is actually the one thing that's like done to us. So I think it's out of the list, it's the most passive thing. But again, it's the thing that's beat up the most. It's difficult to understand. Faith, repentance, and confession are all active acts of faith on our part. Baptism is but a passive act of faith in which we submit to the working of God in our lives. So I think to object to baptism requires man to object to the rest. And if you start objecting to the rest, then yeah, then we have to re-examine your entire faith. And that's the lesson. I hope that is helpful to you. Whether it is you that needs to consider some of these thoughts, I hope it will spur you to study some of these things more and examine some of these things more closely. Or if it's someone else that needs to hear it and you're willing to share it with them, I hope that you certainly will. And I hope I've given you some talking points from the scriptures for yourself to go dive into and study and engage in the Word of God. Don't be afraid to engage the Word of God. It is more than able to stand for itself. More than able. At this time, you have an opportunity. If you need to obey the gospel, you certainly can. You can come forward, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you have that need, come forward as we stand and as we sing. The great position now is given the same.